Okay, I think we're going to go back to the first introduction to PLSQL and could just kind of run through that, and then we're going to start looking at curses. So we got partway through this. First of all, talking about when you write PLSQL, you should be writing it in the editor. You should be creating an SQL file. Okay, so when you save this, it gets saved as an SQL file. So I said, edit first intro. Then I go into the editor, I write the PLSQL code, and that's why I write on this handout SQL code, PLSQL code, because I'm trying to get across the point that the edit command is given at the SQL prompt. But then I'm into the editor and I am writing the code inside the editor. And then I save it, and it gets saved with an SQL extension. And then I exit. And then when I'm back at the SQL prompt, I can execute it using an at sign or using the word start. Okay? And it comes back and tells me that it was successfully completed. Okay? This one didn't show any output because I didn't tell it to show any output. On the next one, I went in and did the output. And I don't want that open. And this time, I wanted to show it on the screen using that DBMS line. And so, in order to use that, I have to use the set server I'll put on. And as a courtesy to yourself or to others, you do the set server I'll put off when you're done. Okay? And so, it generated a line. And the line says the output is concatenated with whatever was in the message. Okay, then they come back and say, all right, if you really want to, and I'm not real sure why you want to, you can declare a variable at the SQL prompt and then use it. So they're saying, okay, variable vmessage is varchar225, and they're declaring that at the SQL prompt. Then they go in and do the edit. So when they're there, they want to use the variable vmessage. And if you want to do that and you've declared it at the SQL prompt, then you have to put a colon in front of it that basically says that it was declared at the SQL prompt and not in the code. So that colon in front of it tells you where it was declared. And then the colon equals the assignment sign, so I'm assigning something to that. Then, if you want to, you can go back and do get out, go back, and at the print, you can print the thing, the message, because you declared it at the SQL prompt. Now you can print it from the SQL prompt. Okay? As I said, I went and took a whole series of Oracle courses, SQL courses. They went through this. I skipped it because I'm not altogether convinced of its practical value. It's fine to know, but okay, so now I know it. I'm still going to do it all within my PLSQL because I want to have the script executable by itself. I don't want to have to remember that before I execute this script, I've got to declare this variable. You know, I would like it declared within the script so that I've got the whole thing together. That's the part that bothers me about declaring outside, is that then anybody that runs my script has to declare outside too, and that just doesn't make sense to me. Okay? But you are getting to see all the things that the college paid big money for me to live.
Okay, so I include everything that was in covered, the courses, and then I went back later for other courses.
Okay, so I can also declare the variable right before the begin so that at least it's part of the script. It's not really in the PLSQL because it's before the begin, but at least it is physically there and will be declared when I run the script. So if I was going to do that, I think this is the better way of doing it. And then I can put in after the slash the print. Okay, so that basically the PLSQL is the 1, 2, 4 lines in between there, but the others are still in the script, but they're not part of the PLSQL. Okay, they also get into, if you want to put up a comment, you can use a dash dash and make a comment. And if you want a big comment, you can use the slash asterisk and end it with an asterisk slash. So that's how you can make a comment.
Well, I think other languages do.
Everybody has their own comment. And I mean, I don't even bother to try to remember what it is. I just go and look it up when if I want to put in comments, because everybody has their own little version of how to do comments. And it's not like it's dependent on anything else. It's just a comment. Yeah. So I just don't even bother to try to remember them. And then I got into a whole example, but it's not a terribly anything that we haven't already looked at. I'm going to be using the DBMS line, so I have the set server output on. I declare my variables, and I declare them using type, which I think is a good way of doing it. Then I said select ID, name, year, goal from donor new, and put them into the variables. And do it only for the record 12121 because we haven't got into curses. And it does it, and it works. Okay. And this, however, is totally impractical because I'm hard coding the ID in there. It would have been far better to put the ID up there and have it ampersand and have the person enter the ID that they want, because hard coding an ID in is worthless, basically. And then this one is just another variation where they say V in ID and they put the ampersand down in the code, as opposed to putting it up here in the declares, and you can put it either place. You can put it after the field in the declare or down in the begin. And so that's the more practical version of it. And then on this one, I put in an except to take it in. So I'm just basically giving you a variety of ways of doing it. Nested blocks is what I want to look at next. And I actually would suggest there's another example of this that I'm not going to go over, that I suggest that you go over, just to look at how it all works. Okay, so I'm taking the output and putting it on Notepad so that we can look at the output at the same time that we're looking at the code. Okay, so there is both the code and the output.
So what I've got here is code within code. And actually, let me make this a little smaller. So that thing doesn't run into it. Okay. So this starts out, and it's got, if I'm doing really well, it has a declare and a begin, and then within the begin, it has another declare, begin, and end, and then it finally comes back and ends the outer one. So there's an inner block within the outer block. So, just to illustrate how it works, I defined the first as 212. I defined the message as outer define. And I also set up an out message and an out answer. Then I started the begin and I said, okay, take out message and make it equal to the message. Take out answer and make it into the first times two, and write out those lines. So I am writing out the before inner, and I am writing out the message that says the first, which is 212, outer define, which is the message, out message, which is also outer define, and out answer, which is 2 times 212, so it's 424. Okay, so I'm writing those. Those were defined in the outer, and I'm writing them in the outer. Then I go to the inner, and I set up V first as 555, V message as inner defined, and I set up an in message and an in answer. And then I said, okay, now in the begin, so in the inner declare, I declared those four things. And then in the inner begin, I said, okay, make the message equal to in message. Make the first times two equal to in answer. And now write out a bunch of stuff. So I'm writing out inner loop showing inner. And then I'm writing the first, which is 555. So notice that V first in the outer was declared as 212. In the inner, I've declared it as 555. I'm in the inner, so that wins. Okay? So I've got 555. I've got the inner message, which is inner defined. In message, which is inner defined. And in answer, which is V first times 2. Or 1,110. Okay? Then I write inner loop showing outer, and I write out message and out answer. So what that is showing is that in the inner, I can still see the things that were defined in the outer. So the inner can still see the things that were defined in the outer. If I use the same names when I define them, then the things defined in the inner win. So the 555 is there instead of the 212.
So it just won't even access the one on.
Right. Okay. Because the first has been redefined in the inner, so it uses the first and the message. Okay. In message was brand new, so in message and in answer can be referred to. Yeah, right.
So does the inner supersede everything else regardless of user input?
Yes. Well, it defeats anything that regarded user input in the outer, yes. If it was user input in the inner, it would be there. But yes, the inner takes over. Okay, so then I write the out message and out answer, and what that's showing is I didn't redefine those in the inner, so they're still available to me. Okay, I redefined the first and the message. I didn't redefine out message and out answer, so they're available to me. Then I end the inner, and I come down and I say, okay, write out after inner, back to outer. Okay, so I'm trying to kind of tell you where you are. It's after the inner, you're back to the outer. So I write V first and V message, and it gives me outer define and V message. Okay, so I'm getting the outer define and the 424. And then, where am I? Then I said outer loop showing outer, and I show out message and out answer. And then I said, note that when I try to show inner here, in message and in answer, it crashes. So when I'm in the outer, it can't see the inner. So if I try to write in message and in answer, it crashes. But if I refer to V first and V message, that's fine. It takes those up there because it's back to the outer, so it takes the ones up there. And out message, out answer are fine. But in message, in answer aren't fine because they were only defined in the inner and the outer can't see the stuff in the inner. Only the inner can see it. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, it's a matter of the outer... when I try to write out the inner stuff when I'm in the outer, it can't see what I declared on the inner. And if I declare the same things, that's fine, but when it's in the outer, it sees the ones, the version of those things that I declared in the outer. When it's in the inner, it sees the version of V first and V message that I declared in the inner. Okay? And the inner can still see the stuff declared in the outer that wasn't redeclared on the inner. So out message. That's right.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. Wait till I manage to get this.
The inner can see the outer, right?
Yeah.
Say that again.
Outer can see the...
No, the inner can see the outer. The outer can see the inner.
Right. Notice that when I am back out here at the outer, the in message and in answer crash. So that's what tells you that the outer can't see the inner.
But the inner can see the outer.
But the inner, when I'm in the inner, it happily wrote out message and out answer. So it can see the outer. Okay, so that's why I call things in and out, so that you could basically...
You're just putting that down there, right? The note. That
the note, right.
And put it, yeah.
I tried doing them, and it crashed.
Yeah.
So I took them back out, and just put the note in to say that when I tried to show the inner definitions here, it crashed.
Gotcha.
Okay. But, yes, I did try them.
10 seconds left of the timeout.
So, like, if the numbers were the same with the inner word, I still know.
Yeah, they would, but then they wouldn't have kind of.
Not, yeah,
it wouldn't really.
It wouldn't, you know, make my point.
Yeah.
As well, yeah. By making the numbers different, I make my point better.
Yeah. Well, no, you definitely made your point. I'm saying that.
Well, I'm not sure I made my point as far, or did I make confusion? I mean, which one?
Confusion is for your questions, and questions are good.
So, we're on back at the first PLSQL. Okay. So, questions. So, we're going to leave that then, if there aren't any questions. I would suggest that you go back more examples of the inner-outer, and at some point in your spare time, look at those two, because they're two other examples of it, and try to follow them through. But it really kind of involves following them through, and there's nothing new in here.
So I'm just going to leave those to you to follow.
Okay. I'm skipping record and table types for the moment. So we've so far now done up through record and table types, and I'm skipping those for the moment because they're make a little more sense after we've done curses. So I'm going to go right to introduction to curses. So the first thing I did was I created a table, donor pot, and I then said, wait a minute, I really didn't want the data, so I went in and deleted the data, okay? So I said, create table, donor pot, and it will have the only fields that I want. Donor pot is just going to have a name, year, goal, and state. And I said, as, select name, year, goal, state from donor. Okay, then as I said, wait a minute, I want to use this for output, so I actually don't want the data in it, so I went in and deleted the six rows so that I had an empty table. So I've still got to remember, delete does not delete the structure of the table. Delete only deletes the data. Okay. So I now have an empty table called donor pot, and it will take a name, a year, goal, and a state. Okay, now, there are two kinds of curses, implicit and explicit. Implicit is one that PLSQL controls and handles, and they use it to handle data that they want an array for or something like that. Explicit is what we get to do. Wait a minute. So explicit requires, when using explicit cursor, there are four things that must be accomplished by the programmer. First, the cursor must be declared. Question?
No.
First, the cursor must be declared. Second, the cursor needs to be opened. Third, the fetch is used to fetch the results of the query into the variables. And fourth, the cursor needs to be closed.
So what a cursor is I'm setting up an area to hold records. How the records move in and out of the cursor is up to Oracle, okay? And they've got, I'm sure, extremely good algorithms to make that happen. But I can act like it's got all of the records in the database in the cursor, if that's what I want to have there, or in the table in the cursor. If I only want certain records in the cursor, I specify that, and that's there. Now, are they all physically there? No. Okay, because as I said, there's an algorithm that's handling that. And they may all be there for my examples, but if you're dealing with a million records, assume there's some algorithm that's dealing.
So instead of rather just taking all the data in that specific field, you can rather just take the data you want rather than the whole field itself? Does that make sense?
Whole field itself?
So say you're copying from one table to another, you're taking every username in that whole table.
Right, but wait a minute, we haven't got to cursors yet. I was just creating a table.
Okay.
I was just creating a table that I was going to use for output in my first example. So here's the first example. Now we can start talking about what we've got.
So I've defined vname, vgoal, vstate. And then I've defined the cursor. And I said the cursor is going to be called donorCursor. And it is going to hold these records. And so I put a select in to fill the cursor. So I'm saying select the name, year, goal, state from donor. So it's going to go to the donor table. It's going to take all of the fields, all of the records, rather. And for each record, it's only taking the name, year, goal, and the state. And that's what's going in the cursor. So the cursor has got the name, year, goal, and the state from all of my records.
Okay.
okay? It doesn't have the entire record, it just has those three fields, because that's all I'm interested in. And I'm doing an insert in here, and so that's why I made an output table, so that I could do an insert. So then I said, okay, now I've set up the cursor. So the next thing I'm going to do is open the cursor. So I say, open donor cursor. Okay? So that is the thing that actually fills it. The cursor definition up there was simply defining what it was. The open donor cursor is what actually fills the cursor. And you'll see that you can actually open and close the cursor to get new data into it. So you have some data into it, and then you want to put other data in, you can open and close the cursor, and we'll see examples of that. So then I said, okay, fetch donor cursor. That means read, essentially, the first record. The fetch means the same as a read, and it's reading the first record. So a fetch gets an individual record. It doesn't get all the records, it gets an individual record. And so it's going to get the first record in the cursor. Okay? So the first record in the cursor, I'm saying fetch from the donor cursor, basically, into vname, vyear, goal, vstate. Well, the cursor said that it's going to have name, year, goal, and state. So I'm going to put name from the cursor into vname, year, goal from the cursor into vyear, goal, and state from the cursor into vstate. Okay? So basically, I read the first record and stored the information on the first record so that I can use it. Okay, so I've read in the first record, and I've taken the data from the first record and put it in my variables. Yeah.
I'm already kind of seeing this probably going to get complicated.
Yes.
So, on the cursor, where you initialize the cursor itself, cursor donor is. So, at this point, the select name, year, state from donor, this can pretty much be any normal select statement. Or is it stop at a
start? Any normal select statement, and we'll see some
like
of those. We can where, well, no ifs, because if isn't
okay.
Part of.
Okay.
But where's, yes, I can have where's.
Okay.
So right now, I actually can look down below.
Can you put having into that to eliminate?
Yes, I could put having into that.
And no ifs and else's?
Right. Can I write? I didn't bring my pens with me, and I want to be able to write. Okay, you get a 2-minute break while I walk back to my office and get my pens, because I really want to be able to write.
Oh, well, no, if you have this and you definitely have 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I mean...
So look at that and see if it makes sense.
You're supposed to be able to.
Yeah, no, no more.
I don't know, this is definitely the only one that you can't do ifs within a loop.
Just tell you to shut it out, right? If there's no ifs, imagine how bad this all looks.
That's what I'm saying. I can already see, like, this is going to be some bullshit. Like, open the cursor, and then select this where this is that, and match it to this.
Yeah.
And then...
Dude, if you can link your cursors, I'm going to be so heated.
Like, there's going to be some bullshit. Like, I already can see it. Like, I can already see it.
Link this cursor to that cursor? Oh, no.
Like, initializing the cursor, like, all right, we just got done initializing the variables. We just got done doing that, so now we're doing the whole initialized cursor thing. Like, I'll take a D.
Oh man.
Yo, question. I'm trying to add the fucking foreign key to the doctor's code or whatever. Like, do I have to, like, have a primary key first?
Yeah, primary key in one table.
Actually,
you need a primary key in that table, and then you can use a foreign key.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So,
right.
I think
that's what I got. But I did the primary, maybe that's what it is.
Did I have to change my tables, like, 4 times?
For that? No shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did altering. I'm just dropping constraints and adding constraints.
It didn't work that time.
Yeah,
because
it wouldn't
that.
Let me drop my primaries.
It wouldn't acknowledge the foreign key, so you have to go drop the whole thing and redo it with the primary key and the foreign keys all in the one
in the structure itself.
Yeah,
that's crazy, because I might have to do the same. I'm trying to avoid that.
If it comes up that it won't, then that's what you're going to have to do.
It won't take the foreign key. That's what it's saying. Like, it keeps
saying that the key's not found
or whatever.
Yeah. Because I had the same problem.
I had mine declared and it was just never.
Okay, so is it all clear now?
Is it all? No, definitely.
Yeah, right.
No, just imagine how bad it's going to get.
And your conversation that went on while I was gone should be on the recorder, right?
Oh, crap.
Okay. So, we're starting out. And the cursor, we have 6 records out right here. And the cursor is taking the name, so if I look down and look at the output, I can see the name, Stephen Daniels, 500 MA, and then Jennifer Ames, 400
Rhode Island,
and then Carl Hershey, Rhode Island, and Susan Ash, 100, Mass, and Nancy Taylor, 50, Mass, and Robert Brooks, 50, Mass. So when I said open the donor cursor, this is what went into the donor cursor. Okay, guys. When I opened the donor cursor, that's what went into the donor cursor. And I had defined it as having these 3 fields. Okay, so I defined it as the cursor has the name, the year goal, and the state. So when I do a fetch, the first fetch is going to take that record. So that record is now sitting in memory when I do the fetch. It do the fetch, and that record then moves into those variables. Okay, I do the fetch, and I move them into those variables. So then I said, okay, while donor cursor is found, and the while donor cursor found is testing for end of file, basically. It's the way you can test for end of file. So, or for not end of file, actually. It's testing for not end of file. So I'm saying, while the donor cursor is found, loop. Okay, so while there is something in the donor cursor, loop. And then I'm saying, insert into donor part the values that I put in the cursor. In the variables. So I read them from the cursor, put them in the variables. Now I'm taking the variables and doing the insert and getting the first record. Then as soon as I've gotten the first record, this fetch will fetch the next record. And I'll fetch the next record, I'll move those things into the variables, and then I do an insert. Okay.
That's what the loop is doing.
Each one until the end.
That's right, exactly. And when it does a fetch at the bottom and the fetch is unsuccessful, when it loops back, it says, "Well, donor loop cursor found. It wasn't found, and so it's out of the loop." At that point. Okay, so this is following the structure that I really like, which is I have an initializing essentially it's a read. It's an initializing read. Okay, so I am reading from the cursor. It's called a fetch because that's the way they decided to make it with the cursor. But essentially it's initializing. It's doing the first one. All others are done down here. Okay, all other fetch reads, whatever you want to call them. done here. So all the others are down there, and that's a style thing. I like that style of having an initializing one at the top, and then at the bottom of the loop doing the next one, right before I go back and check. Okay, so that's a style that I really think is an effective style. Okay, so we've got a cursor going there. Questions? And then I had to close the donor cursor. So again, if you go back up to the things that I had to do, I had to declare the cursor. Okay, so declaring the cursor, let me see if I can get all of that on one screen. Close. Okay. So declaring, first the cursor must be declared. That's right there. Second, the cursor needs to be opened. That's right there. Third, the fetch is used. And the fetch is there and down there. And then finally, you need to have a close. And that's the close. Okay, so that covers all of the things that I need to do. Okay. Okay, then down here, I have a second one that I'm looking at, and I'm saying I decided I only want to put out the things that have a year goal greater than 50. So I added an if statement in here. If the year goal is greater than 50, then do the insert. And there's no else because I don't have any else to do. So I'm just saying, if the year goal is greater than 50, then do the insert. Now, the other way of doing that is down here, where I put the where clause on the definition of the cursor. And this is better, because in the other one, I had to fill the cursor with every record, and then check as I'm processing and reject a bunch of records. Whereas here, I'm only putting the records that I need in the cursor, and as I step through them, I'm going to process every one of them.
So rather than taking them all and getting rid of them, it's going to look, right, this was not greater than 50, next one.
That's right.
Okay.
So when it fills the cursor, it's doing the weeding,
yeah,
as opposed to doing the weeding inside the loop. Okay? So that is a more effective way of doing it. So the more precise you can be about what you want in the cursor, the better it is.
Theoretically, then, it looks like that the cursor only holds values and all the everything else is done almost normal. Like,
right. I mean, in a regular other programming languages that you've seen, you read a record, process, you can read a record, process, read a record, process. In this one, they have it set up, selects were set up to grab groups, kind of, not to grab individual records. So when they wanted to make it so that it could grab individual records, they said, okay, we'll set up an area where we can hold all the records and let you move through them one at a time and process. And that's what a cursor is. And this isn't the only language that has a cursor. There are other languages where you find cursors as well.
So, you probably even answered this already. I might have zoned out. But, so you fill the cursor at the second, during the loop, and then...
You fill the cursor when you say open.
No, I mean, like, the actual data, like... After, you know, it filters through, like once it hits the while, and if the year goal is greater than 50, as it's doing this, this is where it's actually filling the cursor, and then the fetch pulls it.
No, the open is filling the cursor. The open is putting the stuff in the cursor. The cursor is defined up here, so yeah. I know it wants 3 fields for every record. Then when I say open, that's when it gets filled. And as I said, we don't know the algorithm that is filling it, so we don't know exactly what's happening behind the scenes. But as programmers, we can act like it's got everything in it that we need.
Okay.
So as soon as you open it, it's already filling.
That's right. So as soon as you open it, it's got everything. And in this example that I'm looking at, I've got the where your goal greater than 50 is actually in the cursor. And so it's only going to put the records where the year goal is greater than 50 into the cursor. So if we look at that and go down and look at what the output it produced, those are the ones that end up going in the cursor. Okay, so the cursor for this one has only 3 records. It has Stephen Daniels, Jennifer Ames, and Susan Ash, because they all have... Okay, so open the cursor. Wait a minute. Open the cursor. Put those 3 records in. So I didn't get all 6 records. I only got the records that met the criteria for the cursor, which is give me the name, give me the year goal, give me the state for all the records where the year goal is greater than 50. So those are the only 3 that went in the cursor. And then when I get, after I open it, I fetch and I get the Stephen Daniels first. And I process him by doing the insert, and then I read Jennifer Ames. And I process her, and then I read Susan Ash. And I process her, and I try to read again. There isn't anything, so the donor cursor was not found, so I drop out. Okay, so that one only has 3 records going into the cursor. Yeah.
So I was looking, so that's why I was probably confused. I was looking at the previous example. I'm not even sure if we went over it, but
I mentioned it.
All right. The year goal inside the loop. That's why I was thinking that maybe the cursor filters it then, but.
Well, it does at that point. Okay. Well, the cursor doesn't filter it; it gets filtered. So all 6 records. On the one that we went back and looked at, that you're just talking about, all 6 records went in the cursor. And then I fetched each of the 6 records and determined if the year goal was greater than 50. And if it was, I did the insert.
Okay.
But if it wasn't, I didn't. So I end up with exactly the same output. It's just a difference in the methodology.
So when you're using Donut Pie, I read the other thing. Every time that you go to use Donut Pie for another query, you have to delete everything inside there, right?
Well, I know.
Your thing said that.
I just was deleting everything because I was showing you all the examples. And if I didn't show you all the examples, I would have had 6 of them, and then the same 6 would have repeated, and then 3 would have repeated, and I just would have
had,
it would have got out of control.
Yeah.
So I was using the same thing and just deleting it for demonstration purposes. Because if I kept inserting into the same thing,
you know,
Jennifer Ames was going to end up being in there 10 times or whatever if I wrote 10 different programs.
You could sit there and be like, huh? Why are there so many names?
So, I mean, that's why I deleted in between, was just to keep that file clean.
Yeah, but you want it because then, I mean, if we did something for homework and you asked like this and then something else.
Right, to use the same one, then you'd have to do it, right. But if you're getting paid to do it, probably they're not going to ask you to do it 3 different ways.
Yeah.
Better not. Need more money.
So
Now, where was I?
I think it's this next one coming up. I know it's a not found yet. That's
okay, the only difference in this one is instead of using the while loop, which I prefer, I use the loop loop. And I'm saying loop, and instead of having a while there, instead I have a loop there, which means I have to have a way to get out. So I said exit when donor cursor not found. Okay, so that's just a alternate way of doing the loop. Is I can say loop, and then I did the insert, and then I did a fetch, and if it wasn't successful, it would exit, because I said exit when donor cursor not found. Okay, so on the other one, I was doing while it was found. Now I am saying exit when it is not found. So there's both a found and a not found that you can use. And on this one, I am saying while donor cursor row count is less than 5 and donor cursor is found. So I'm actually counting the rows. And when I count the rows, I wanted less than 5, so I only processed 4 records. Okay.
So that's what that means.
So I said row count less than 5. So you have these little functions that you have here, and one of them is found and not found, and then there's another one called row count.
Awesome. This is where I'm going to be. Oh, this is going to be the topic right here.
Would you all stop being so...
You put the 50 in there, though, right? So it drops out.
I didn't do the 50
okay,
in
so
there,
drops
right.
Out the Robert Brooks and the...
No, it only... I didn't put anything in. It dropped out... purely based on the fact that I said row count less than 5.
So
when it got to 4 things,
yes,
it stopped.
Yeah, it doesn't process Nancy Taylor, Robert Brooks.
That's right.
It's 5 and 6.
That's right, exactly.
If that number was 7, they would be in there.
Yep. And then if you happen to want to show the row ID, you can do that. And a row ID... is the ID that it shows, and I'm trying to see where it is. View goal, record state, row, record row ID. So the row ID is simply the row ID, and it makes it unique. When it's doing behind the scenes, it makes this unique number. Okay? And there is the ID.
There is no reason to know that, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, unless, you know, you're working for a company and they want to see that unique number for some reason, for something. That's the row ID. But no, there's really not a lot having to do with it. I also, on this one, gave a record row name. So you can see on this one... that I said, here's the cursor, and donor rec is in the donor cursor, and it's of that type. Okay? And you can read that explanation up above. And then when I refer to the things, once I've done that, I refer to them as donor rec name. So I didn't declare variables to put them in this time. I'm not declaring variables to put them in. I said donor rec is the donor cursor row type, which means basically when you refer to an individual record, the data in an individual record, you can put donor rec in front of it. So down here, when I said insert into, I said donor rec.name, donor rec.year goal, donor rec.state, donor rec.row ID. Donor rec is the name for each individual. Donor cursor is the collection. donor rec as the individual ones. And so, since I didn't declare variables up here, it can find it by saying, go to the donor rec and find the dot name, the name. Go to donor rec and find the year goal. Go to donor rec and find the state. Go to donor rec and find the row ID.
So, donor rec, where's the donor cursor row type? I see that we don't need to declare these variables the way we have been.
That's right.
And why is that?
Because I've declared the name of the record, and that's the individual record. And so, therefore, it says, okay, I'll go to whatever record is current, and I will take the name off the current record. So donor rec is the current record.
And it could have been named anything.
It could have been named anything.
But donor cursor row type is the actual...
Row type is there to tell it that that's the name.
All right, well, yeah, row, yeah, okay.
Okay. But donor cursor is what I chose to call the cursor.
Yeah.
And that could have been anything, too. So donor cursor is the name that I chose to call the cursor. Donor rec is the name that I'm calling the record.
It's better to define the variable, though, isn't it, than users? Or?
I like it better. I'm not fond of referring to everything by something dot something and writing it more. So
it would have worked if we just declared the variable.
Well, I'm actually not sure that you don't have to do it this way when you're doing the row ID. And if I read that paragraph, it might tell me. But if I'm doing the row ID, I may need to do it. Now, the number of times that you need to do the row ID, you can count on the head of a pin, so therefore, pretty much what you said. But because it says, remember, row ID is not on the donor table. I refer to it as part of the record that was created in the cursor setup. So yeah, it seems to imply, just quickly reading that, that to get row ID, I need to get this. I need to set it up this way. And if I don't need row ID, then I can go back to the other way. And we can all read that paragraph at some point.
One day.
Promise or anything.
As soon as I see the homework posted, I'll read it.
You'll get right on top of it. Okay. All right. So this is one, and I was overly optimistic. So if you look at the in-class, we will start a cursor program. Looking at the time, I lied. We will start it Tuesday. Okay, so we will do that on Tuesday. We'll still look at the next thing coming up, but... Where are my example one using cursors? Okay, so if you look at that first example under example one, cursors. Yeah, no, maybe what?
Oh, wow.
Mike's
been up too long.
Okay, so. I defined four variables, a drive number, a drive name, a contribution amount, and a total contribution amount. Now I have set up two cursors. Okay. The first cursor is taking information from the drive table, and the second cursor is taking information from the donation table. Okay, so I'm going to have two cursors involved here. And the two cursors are each accessing a different table. Now, I could have one cursor that accesses both tables, and we'll get into that later. But for now, we're doing it individually, yes?
Can you do three, too?
Of course. Or four, or five, or six, or seven, or however many you want to make your life totally complicated.
Miserable.
That too. Okay, so cursor, the drive cursor is select drive number and drive name from drive, and put it in order by drive number. Then I said, okay, the donation cursor is select the cont amount from donation, where the drive number equals the drive number, and I probably didn't need to order by drive number there, but I did. Frequently I will do that just automatically when I've got the two cursors that I'm matching together, I'll get them in the same order. Okay, so if I now look at the data, does anybody remember what the drives are on the drive table? I should have.
Isn't it Z? Wasn't it drive Z, donation Z?
Yeah, but what is the data? If I go back, what do you remember what the drive table donated? It's something like 10, 20, 30, right? Drive numbers are 10, 20, 30, as I recall. Okay, have you been part of this class? Have I been part of this class? I guess there are 100, 200, 300. See? I haven't been part of the class either. So the drive numbers, I believe, are 100, 100, 200, and 300. And they have a name associated with them. So I've got my drive cursor, and I've got 100, 200, 300. Okay, has anybody found my example of what they are? All right, we'll call them first, second, and third. But they actually have names that I think we've used whenever we've gone into them. But we'll call them first, second, and third. Okay? So that's what I'm going to get in the drive cursor. I've said select drive number, drive name from drive, order by drive number. So that's what's going to be in the drive cursor. Okay, now, the amounts. Okay, actually, I just found them. Kids shelter, animal home, and health aid, and halfway. So I just found them down there. Okay? Now, I happen to know how this data is working, and kids shelter is 105. Okay? And this is showing animal home that is 75, and then it's showing health aid, which is 20. Okay, so essentially, notice that the total is 105, which is here. Okay, and apparently, if you look at this, when I'm printing this out, I'm printing out the current amount. Okay, the current amount is, and I'm printing out the total as it now stands. So I can pretty much assume, why do I have that little line there? That little line is not doing any good. Okay. So the contribution amounts that are coming in, and it would have been down here. Okay, so there's looking at the data.
So the donation table, or the donation cursor rather, this is the donation cursor. And the donation cursor is going to have 25, 40, 20, 10, 10, 50, 35, 10. Did I skip any? Okay, so that's the donation cursor.
And we know that because if we go back, there's the donation table, and if we go back and look at the cursors, the donation cursor is select cont amount. So it's only taking one thing from donation, where V drive number equals drive number. So those are the two cursors. Okay? But, that's the information I want in the cursor. But, that's not what I'll get in there at the beginning. Okay, that's what eventually is going to go in there. But I have this where clause that says where V drive number is equal to drive number. So if I come down again and look at the things, which ones are going to be in there if I want V drive number to equal drive number, and let's say drive number is 100. Okay, so drive number is 100. So that means which ones are going to be in here. I'm going to have the 25, right? I just am going to erase. If I select 100, I'm going to have the 25, the 20, the 20, a 10, and what else?
That's it.
Another 10, right?
Oh,
1, 2, 3, 4.
No, 10, 50.
50. 50. So when I put in the where clause and look at that where clause, I'm only going to have a match because those are the only ones that have a drive number of 100, right? Okay, so now I've got what's really in the cursor. Select drive number, drive name from drive. Okay, and the other cursor is going to say select donation cursor is, cursor donation cursor is, select con amount from donation where V drive number equals drive number. And order by drive number, as I said, wasn't necessary there because I'm only taking the ones that match. So that's what I'm going to end up with in there. Okay, so now I go to when it actually gets filled. And I open the drive table, and that is what I end up with. And then I say loop, and this one I did with a loop. And I said fetch drive cursor into V drive number, V drive name. So I'm now going to have 100 in here and first here since we gave up on trying to remember the names. Okay, so I have first there. Exit when drive cursor not found. So then I put in this little check, which was done more to illustrate the is open than anything else. I'm saying if donation cursor is open, then close it. In other words, I want to reopen it. So if the donation cursor is open, then close it. Now, if I've written my program correctly, I probably don't need that because I'm keeping track of what's going on. But then I wouldn't have gotten to show you is open. Okay? So then I said, okay, now open donation cursor. So if it was open, close it and reopen it. Now, every time it opens it, it is going to find a match to V drive number. Okay, so it's going to find the match to 100, but when I move down and look at the next drive, you'll see that it will change. So I open the drive cursor, then I set the contribution amount. So I've got this total, V total, amount. And I set that to zero. Okay. And then I hit a loop. And I say, okay, now I've opened the donation cursor. It looked for a match for 100. Those are the ones that it got. And now I'm saying fetch the donation cursor into VCon amount. So the first time it is going to take the 25 and put it into VCon amount. Okay, so the first time it's going to have the 25 there. And then I said, fetch donation cursor into VCon amount, except when it's not found. Then I said, okay, now make a total. So take VCon amount and add it to the total. So I'm now up to 25. Okay, so I added the 25 there. And then I drop down and I say, put out a line. So if you look down below, if you scroll down below, I put out a line. So I'm putting out the line that says the current amount is 25. And then I'll scroll back up and hopefully get this to match again. Sada. So that ends the loop. And then I go back up and I fetch the donation cursor, and this time I am not using the fetch outside, so I'm fetching the donation cursor, so now I've got the 20, okay?
So it's going to add all those up.
That's right, and I add the 20 in here, and it is now 45, and if you look down below, the next one says the current amount is 45, okay? And then I loop back and I fetch the next one, and it's 10, so I'm now up to 55. And then I loop back and I fetch the next one, which is 50, so I'm up to 105. And then, so I write that out, that ends the loop. I go back and attempt another fetch. It's not successful, so I exit when the donation cursor is not found. And as I said, this is a technique, and I'll show you, I've got another version of this that we'll look at on Tuesday, but this is a technique that is not terribly pleasing to everybody because I've got an exit mid-loop. And a lot of people will say you shouldn't do that. Okay, so I've now exited the loop. And at that point, I insert into cont info, which is an output file, the values V drive number, V drive name, V total cont amount. So I am writing out in that, I am writing out the 100, the drive name, which is first, and the total, which is 105. Okay, so I'm writing those out. Then I close the donation cursor. I close the donation cursor. And that ends the outer loop. And then I close the donation cursor. And that, I shouldn't have said ends it, that goes to the end loop. And it loops back up. Okay, so the outer loop now loops back up. So once I write out the line, I close the donation and I loop back up here. So now I fetch the next drive, which is now 200. Okay, so I fetch the next drive, exit when not found, it was found. Is donation cursor open? No, I was good and closed it, so it's all set. Then I open the donation cursor. So now I'm getting into the donation purse of what?
Yeah, 40, you're going to get 35. And Okay. And I'll put a 75.
So I get, wait a minute. If you look at, go down to 200, what did you say I get?
The first one is 40, and then you're going to get 35.
So if you go down and scroll down a ways and you look at the ones that have a 200 on them, it is 40 and 35. Okay, so I'm getting 40 and 35. And so now I reset the total back to zero. So I'm resetting this total back to zero. And then I go into the inner loop and I fetch the 40. Okay, so I fetch the 40 and I go ahead and process that by adding it to the total. So the 40 now is going to be 40 here. And then I write it out. And then I loop back and fetch the next one, which is 35. I add it to the total, which gets me up to 75. And I write that out on the line. Okay, and I loop back and I try to fetch, and there's nothing left that I can fetch. Okay, so there's nothing left that I can fetch. So then what do? I drop out and I insert into here 200. Second, 75. Okay. Second, 75. Then I close the donation cursor. I loop back, and now I've got 300. And I keep going through like that. And I think these people are trying to tell me that you guys are done, and it's their turn. Watch it.
I appreciate it.